Panul hor e vort vo e hokvuin ser vo. Amen. This past week on Wednesday, February 14th, was a day that had, as they would say in English, lots of coincidences. Because on February 14th, in America especially, we celebrate Valentine's Day, St. Valentine's Day. And it's a day when we exchange chocolates and cards, and we also exchange roses. Also, on that day in the Armenian church, every year on February 14th, is called Diaren Tarash, the presentation of the Lord to the temple. It happens always 40 days after Christmas. So it's 40 days after January 6th, and it is the day that we remember when Christ was brought to the temple in Jerusalem and offered to the temple, was dedicated to God, and was made not holy, but was promised to serve God. And even in the Armenian church and many other churches, we still do this. On the 40th day of a child, when they are born, we bring them to the church and we dedicate them to God. And it's also this day that Simeon, the elder, sees Jesus coming to the temple. And he picks him up in his arms and he hugs him and he says, "Now, Lord, your servant can depart in peace, for he has seen the salvation that you have promised, a light to the Gentiles and a salvation to Israel." It is also a day that our brothers, our Catholic brothers and sisters, called Ash Wednesday, when they began Lent. Now, we already began Lent 2 days earlier, on Monday. But it is during this Lenten season that we prepare for the resurrection of Christ. We prepare for the celebration of Christ's defeat over death, sin, and the devil and Satan. But all three of these things have one thing in common. They all share a common thread, we'll say. And that is, they all wait on a promise. They're all waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. We see that when we have Valentine's Day, we are waiting and hoping that our loved one, who has made us promises throughout the year, will fulfill those. At least bringing roses home, or chocolates, or taking us out somewhere. This is a promise that we hope will be fulfilled on Valentine's Day, or soon thereafter. So you still have some time, if you haven't. On the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord to the Temple, we remember how Simon was promised by God that he would not die until he saw the Lord's salvation, until he saw the Lord's Christ come into this world, the Savior, the Messiah. And he saw it, and he said, "Now I have seen, and now I can be released. Now I can depart in peace." And during Lent, we all wait for that promise, when we can eat meat again, but also for Christ's resurrection. The promise that on that final day, in 40 days, 50 days from now, that we see the resurrection, we celebrate the resurrection, and we wait for that promise that God has given us, that we too shall be resurrected one day, and we too shall live eternally with him. Unfortunately, we live in a world full of sin, of death, of tears, of pain, and of sorrow. And we remember this reality every day, especially today. In the Armenian church, today is referred to as the Sunday of Expulsion, or the Sunday of Exile. And it's when we remember how Adam and Eve were eating, or in the Garden of Eden, and they ate from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they were then exiled from paradise. And as a result, they were exiled and forced to leave not just paradise, but the presence of God, and as a result, they inherited death. And we all have that in us today. But glory to God that we have a cure for that death, and that is Christ Jesus. And we find this in Holy Communion and in our life with Christ. But before this all happened, God gave Adam and Eve one very specific command. He gave them one thing to do, and they couldn't even do that. And many of us are probably in the same category, where we're told to do just one thing and we can't even do that. And it was not to eat from that tree. They ate from the tree, and God says to them, the day that you eat from that tree, you will surely die. Now, if you grow up in the Western world, as most of us do, we are told that that is a threat. That is a punishment. That if you eat from this, you will die. I will kill you because of that. And sometimes we say this to our children too. If we think about it, you do that, I will kill you. I promise you. Now, we don't necessarily mean it, but sometimes we make these threats. And so it's understandable that we could think God, our Heavenly Father, would make the same type of threat. But in the Eastern world, the Armenians included, we never viewed this as a threat. We never viewed this as punishment. But rather, it was a warning. A warning that if you do this, this is going to happen. If you touch the stove that is burning hot, you will be burnt. I'm not doing it to you, but you're going to do it to yourself. Don't do it. And yet we still do. And God tells us many times throughout the Bible, if you do this, this is going to result. And what do we do, just like children? You don't know anything. I know better. I can outrun this. I can outperform this. I can outdo this. I'll be ahead of the curve. And yet, we still end up suffering. This means then, if it's not a punishment, but rather a warning, there are two very important truths to this. This first is that God did not want death and pain and sorrow in this world. The world was created without any of this. But rather, we brought it into the world, and we continue to bring it into the world today. When we see someone crying, when we see someone in pain, when we see someone suffering, it's because we have brought this into this world, not God. The second truth is that we are not created for this world. We are not created to live in a world where there is death, and where there is pain, and where there is sorrow, and there is sin, and there are tears. We are created for heaven. We are created for paradise. We are not created for this world, and we do not belong to this world. This is why the apostle says, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. We are created for heaven, for paradise, and to live in God's presence eternally. But unfortunately, for the time being, we find ourselves here today. There's a story of two camels. And these two camels, there's a mother and a baby camel. And the baby camel, inquisitive as it always is, asks the mom and says, Mom, why do we have these long eyelashes? And the mom says, well, it's to keep the sand out of our eyes. Okay. Then he goes on to say, well, Mom, why do we have these long legs? And the mom says, it's so that when we walk in the sand, we don't sink into the sand. Okay. He then asks, well, Mom, why do we have this hump on our back? And the mom says, oh, it's so that when we go on long journeys in the desert, we have water and we don't get thirsty. It's okay. Time goes by, and then the little baby camel asks, well, then, Mom, if we have these eyelashes and we have these long legs, and we have this hump on our back for all these things, why are we in the San Diego Zoo? Very often, we find ourselves to be like these camels. We are created for somewhere else. We are created for something else. And yet, we find ourselves somewhere completely different. We find ourselves somewhere that we do not belong, but we are there. Christians today feel like this all the time, because we live in a world that is constantly persecuting us, constantly ridiculing us, constantly making fun of us and mocking us, and making us believe that what we believe to be wrong. We live in a world today that was not created by God the way he wanted it to be. We have brought this world to this place. But as Christians, we have the ability and the power to change the world. We have the ability to change to something better. We do not belong to this world, but we are in it. And this church that we have, the church, the universal church, is a taste of what heaven is supposed to be. I've read once that they said, if you don't like incense, you're not going to like heaven. So you better like incense. And if you say you have asthma, which you may, there won't be any asthma in heaven, so don't worry about that. Okay? But the church is a foretaste of what heaven is supposed to be. And the church is a place that we are called to be in. We are called from the world to be in something else. We are called to live differently, and we are called to live holy lives. During this whole Lenten season, this is again why we do Lent. It's not so that, and as I've said many times, it's not so that God is happy with you because you don't eat a hamburger. Okay? It's not because God is going to be happy with you because you don't eat sweets or sugar. Okay? God wants you to change your life. He wants you to become something better. He wants you to become what he has created you to be. And in this world and in this Lenten season, this is an opportunity for us as a community, as a church, as the body of Christ, to change together, to help each other, to encourage one another, and to make us better. We are called to live differently. We are called to live holy lives. We are called to live like our Heavenly Father, who is perfect in heaven, and to be perfect like him. We are called to comfort the grieving, to care for the needy, to interact with the lonely, and most importantly, we are called to live in the presence of God. And that presence of God is here in the church. You cannot be a Christian and not be part of a church. I do not care who you are, what background you have, what education you may have, and what degrees you may have earned. You cannot be a Christian and not be part of a community of faithful. Even the monks who lived in the desert by themselves still came together and worshiped together in the desert. So you cannot do that. So when I see people, not in church, naturally, and they say, oh, I don't need to go to church, I pray from home, I say, how's that going for you? It's probably not going to do much for you in the long run. You need to be part of a community. You need to be part of the body of Christ. So this week has been a very eventful week for many of us. Hopefully most of us got roses and chocolates and cards from our loved ones. If we didn't, there's still time. We celebrated the presentation of the Lord at the temple, and we also began Lent this past week. So I ask that just as your loved ones hugged you on Valentine's Day, just as St. Simeon the Elder hugged Christ at the temple, we hug each other constantly, that we support one another. We be there for each other. We build one another up. And we realize that together, we are not supposed to be here. But together, we will reach that final destination, which is heaven on earth, paradise, the new creation which is coming at the final resurrection, which we will all celebrate Christ's resurrection in only a couple weeks' time. Amen.